Okay, today's daf is Lamed He, Bava Kama Lamed He. We're going to start on Lamed Dalet Amud Bet. Okay, Amar Le Rav Acha Bar Tachlifa Le Rava. So if you remember, we had these two shitot of Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, about how to understand this pasuk, V'chatsu et ashur ha-chai v'gam atameit yechatsun. Right? Umachur et ashur ha-chai v'chatsu et kaspo v'gam atameit yechatsun. Okay, so just to review, Rabbi Meir said, right, that we evaluate the damage based on how much damage was done, and then from that, right, we split the value of the animal. Gamat HaMedia Chetzun comes to teach that it's only up to the value of the damage that was done, right? Whereas Rabbi Yehuda doesn't learn that, and that's going to be our question. If that's the case, well, then does he think that it could be higher than the damage that was actually done? And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, we split up both shvarim. Remember, they each get a part of the dead animal, and they each get a part of the mazik's animal. And we split them both. So now they're going to ask, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Amar le Rav Acha bar Tachlifa le Rava, im kem atzinu le Rabbi Yehuda, tam shalem yoter michatzi nezek. Because, remember, if you only learn, right, that we split both animals, well, then you could get to the conclusion that, in theory, he could end up having to pay more than chatzi nezek. Also, we saw it the opposite, right, that he could actually pay more than the damage he caused. Batorah amra, umachur et ashur achai v'chatzuach kaspo. Ilei l'Rabbi Yehuda, b'chashe b'chata mita, machatzim, so now they say, no. Ilei l'Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda agrees with the statement we said before about Rabbi Meir, b'chashe b'chata mita, machatzim b'chai. That when we say v'chatsu et ashur achai, it means that we only evaluate based on the pchat that he caused to the other animal. In other words, we're only going to have him pay up to the amount of damage he did, and then half of that, basically. So he does learn that, but if you remember, when Rabbi Meir learned that, where did he learn that line from? He learned it from v'gamatame yechatsun. So now, what do they say? So if that's the case, minale, where does he learn it from? So if you want to say he learns it from mivigamet hamet yachetzun like Rabbi Meir does, v'ha afke Rabbi Yehuda lizen otel chatzi achai v'chatzi amet. Right? He already used that pasuk. Gamet hamet yachetzun means that we split the dead animal also. So we can't teach that halacha from there. V'zen otel chatzi amet v'chatzi achai v'chatzi amet. Right? That each one gets that. So what do they answer? Our typical answer we always have: im kein nichtov kra ve'et hamet. My vigam etamet shmamina tarte. Okay, so now we're going to say, because the pasuk says vigam etamet yechatsun, vigam is going to say we can learn something additional. So what we have is that Rabbi Meir says vigam etamet yechatsun means that we only evaluate the half amount of damages based on the damage that was actually done to the shore of the nizat, to the damaged animal. And Rabbi Yehuda learns both that halacha and the fact that we split up the nevela in half from that pasuk. And that's because of the word vigam. Okay, new Mishnah. And here we're going to get into all sorts of other issues that don't relate specifically to Bava Kama that are interesting that we've seen in other places. Okay, I'll already preface it by saying, number one, mekalkel b'shabbat, or you chayav or patur, if you do a destructive malacha, okay, obviously you're going to be patur because it's destructive and malachat machshevet asarat Torah, but are there exceptions or are there not? And we're going to learn about kimle b'derabamine, you remember, which means if someone is mitchayev, let's do with the basic case, mavet and something else, and tashlumin, are we going to pot you from, you know, we're going to pot you from tashlumin because of the chiyuv mavet. So yesh chayav al ma'aseh shoro upatur al ma'aseh atzmo. There's a case where you could be chayev if your shor does something, but you could be patur if you do the exact same thing. Patur al ma'aseh shoro, there could be a case where you're patur if your shor does it, v'chayav ma'aseh atzmo. So basically we're going to say you could do the same act, either you or your shor, and in one case you'd be chayav, and in the other patur, and also the reverse. Ketzad. Shoro shebiyesh, patur. V'hu shebiyesh chayav. If your shor embarrasses someone, okay, does something silly, you know, makes someone look silly, then, or, you know, let's say attacks them in the sense that there's just embarrassment, okay, then he's going to be patur. But if you cause damage to someone that also there's embarrassment involved, or let's say it's a case where there's no nezek, but just embarrassment, he's going to be chayav. Sure, and that's because, right, what do we learn about? You have to have kavanah. There was a machloket about whether it's kavanah levayesh or kavanah lehazik, right? So assuming it's kavanah levayesh, you have to have kavanah to embarrass. Well, the assumption is a shur doesn't have enough da'at to want to try to embarrass somebody. And therefore, they're going to be patra from boshet. Let's say a shur blinds the guy's, in other words, his owner's, it's obviously not his own eved, right? He blinds his owner's slave, or he knocks out his tooth. What's the halacha generally, right? If a person knocks out his tooth, then he goes free. But if your shur does it, right, you're going to be patur, he doesn't go free because the shur is the one who knocked out the eye. Okay, so in that case, he's going to go free. Chayav here means he goes free. It doesn't mean he has to pay.
He's a slave.
Right, the slave goes free. If a shur attacks his mother or father, again, the owner's mother or father, the shur is chayav to pay the damages. But if you hit your mother and father, you don't pay damages. Why don't you pay damages? Because you're high of death. Okay? You're high of the death penalty, and therefore you're not responsible for damages. Okay? If your shur lights up someone's field on Shabbat, chayav. If he lights up a field on Shabbat, though, he's going to be chayav. Mavet for being over on the Isser of Mavir, that's going to lead us to the whole issue of Makalkel, and he's therefore patur for the damages he does to the field. Mipnei shu mitchayev b'nafsho. Okay, because he's chayev the death penalty. Okay. Tami Rabbi Avahu kamei Rabbi Yochanan. So now Rabbi Avahu teaches this brayta before Rabbi Yochanan. Kol ha-makalkelim p'turim chutz mi-chovel u-mavir. Anyone who does Makalkel, a destructive act. Okay, so again, Yisrei Melacha and Shabbat are based on the building of the Mishkan. Building of the Mishkan was what we call Melechet Machshevet. It was something that was Yitzirati. It was creative, creating something. So if you're destroying something, you're not going to be Chayav. Unless it's like Soter Almanat Livnot, right? Or the Kura Almanat Litfor, to rip in order to resew, or to break down a wall in order to rebuild it. But if you're doing it just to be destructive, it's Patur. Okay, now. It's patur, ava, chutz mi chovel umavir. Comes from the ava when he brings this bright that it says, except for two isurei melacha. Chovel, which is causing a wound to someone, which really means drawing blood. And mavir, burning, right, making a fire. Because those are both destructive acts. Chovel, by the way, we learned this in Shabbat. If you remember, there's three potential isurei melacha. It's not an isur melacha. It's not one of the melachot. It's a tolada. So what's it a tolada? What's a subcategory of which melacha? Three-way machloket. Most mafreshim say it's shochet, because shochet is drawing blood, basically. And they say that drawing blood is like nitilat neshama. Okay, there's a toladav shochet that's called nitilat neshama, taking out the neshama. And therefore, they say adam is the nefesh, and therefore, causing blood, causing someone to bleed is shochet. Two other less prevalent opinions, but nevertheless, there one is dash. What does dash mean? To separate the wheat from the chaff. It's taking something out that's inside of something. Okay, for example, nursing, okay, or milking a cow is dash. It's taking something out that's within something. So what do they say? You're taking out blood from within the body. The third is tovea. That's a more creative one, because you're causing the body to be black and blue, basically. You're changing the color of the skin, okay, from the wound. It's going to change colors. So that's a bit of a strange one. Anyway, however you look at it, it's definitely a tolada, okay? And therefore, chovel, which is a tolada, or mavir, okay, havara, which is one of the malachot, is going to be patur, is going to be chayav, even if it's destructive. That's what Rabbi Abau teaches. Amar le, Rabbi Yochanan comes here with my favorite insult, puk tana tnei livra, levara. Go teach this outside. There's no room for this in the Beit Midrash. Okay, now, generally, we say this when they think, not just that they disagree with the opinion, or that it's a legitimate opinion, this actually, there is an opinion that holds this, but he's saying, your braita is incorrect, and as you didn't study it well, it's not the right braita, or possibly it's just I disagree with you, okay? There's no place for this. Chovel umavir ain't a mishnah, there's no such thing, it doesn't belong in the braita here, okay? Meaning, chovel umavir is not chayav if you do it in a destructive way. Okay, so now the imtim tzilomer mishnah. If you want to say the chovel and mavir are going to be chayav, in which case chovel b'tzarich leklavo, mavir b'tzarich leafro. Chovel is going to be chayav only if you need the blood for your kelev. In other words, it's true, maybe you did it to attack this person, but if you then take the blood and use it to feed your dog, then we're right, yeah, a little unpleasant. Then we're going to say, you're using the blood for something else, so there was something productive about this act. Or mavir b'tzarich l'afro, you burn something because you need the ashes for something. Okay, so now we're going to say, Rabbi Yochanan basically has this approach, the chovel u'mavir are not chayav if you do them destructively. So now they're going to say this doesn't work with our Mishnah. It's none. Shoroshi liket hagadish b'shabah chayav. V'hushi liket hagadish b'shabah patur. Okay, so now what did it say in our Mishnah? If the shore lights up the field on fire, he's going to be chayav. If he lights up the field on fire, he's going to be patur. V'katane, and the assumption here is, we're taking two totally parallel cases, right? So, v'katane hu dumia d'shoro. The assumption is that he is going to be like his shore. Masharo de lo kabaile, apunami de lo kabaile. Since the shore, obviously, what could possibly be a situation where a shore is going to light a fire because he needs the ashes? Right? Enka's a devar, he's not going to light up a field because he needs the ashes. So likewise, the person is going to be that kind of case. And what did we learn? He's patur. If he's patur, why is he patur? Because he's mitchayev b'nafsho. What's wrong?
The whole basic assumption is incorrect because the Mishnah is only talking about cases of nezikin. You're patur from nezikin, but you're chayev mavet.
Right, but why would that's the assumption. Why are you chayev mavet? Well, according to Rabbi Yochanan, you're not chayev mavet if it's destructive.
Right.
So the assumption is
a case to prove that that's the way.
No, so look, the case talks about, right, Adam is chayav b'shabat, right, for lighting the field on fire, right? The field's on fire, he lights the field on fire, he's chayav b'shabat and patur b'tashlumi. Now, why is he chayav b'shabat? Because he destroyed the field. According to Rabbi Yochanan, if he destroys a field, he should be patur on Shabbat because it's mekalkel. And the assumption is that it must be that the Mishnah is talking about a case of mekalkel because the parallel case by shur would also be mekalkel. We can't possibly have a case of a shur, at least we think so right now, where the shur needs the ashes for something and he burned it thinking, I'm going to make a fire so that I can have ashes. Okay, that's the assumption here. So now they say, so this Mishnah basically shows, if you look at the Mishnah very simply, that an Adam is chayav on Shabbat for burning a field on fire, which is a classic case of mekalkel. And that would disagree with Rabbi Yochanan. That's our question.
So they don't raise the possibility that it could be kilkul l'tzorach tikkun, because it's not that agriculturally if you burn a field, it's healthy for the ground.
You're saying it could be it's for the purpose, right? You could be burning it for the purpose, but still it wouldn't work for the shore. The shore would never do that.
Right.
So it still wouldn't work here. Right? They're giving the case where you need the ashes. It could be that could be another case. They're just giving a classic case of... Right, it doesn't have to be for immediate benefit, no. That would be a good case if you burn the field in order to make it better. Right, when I was in Vietnam, it was... Unfortunately, it wasn't the rice season because that's like the whole thing. You have these fields and pick rice, but all the fields were burned. They burned them all for that's what they do in order to make it better. But right, they don't raise that either. They didn't know that that was maybe they didn't do it in those days or right because that would be a good. But you have to remember when they talked about this burning for the tzorach of the afer, they weren't talking about burning a field. In other words, they're just talking about burning in general. When they talk about mavir, the classic case they bring is you're burning something, which isn't necessarily a field, in order because you need the ashes. So they're just borrowing that terminology for our case, which happens to be the burning of a field. But you could say they could have brought that as a case, but they didn't. Okay. So now, in any case, they wouldn't bring it because it has to be like the shore case, and a shore would never do that. So now they say, okay, now they're going to have the first answer later, we're going to have a second answer. Lo shoro dumia didideh. Instead of saying the Adam is like the shore, we can say that the shore case is like the Adam. And therefore, if you read this Mishnah with Rabbi Yochanan's eyes, how are you going to read this Mishnah? The Adam is going to be patur because only in a case where he burned the field because he wanted the ashes. Likewise, the shore is going to be a case like that. Mahu dekabayle, what's the case by the Adam? He needs the ashes. Bay is to need. Af sharo dekabayle, the shore also is going to be a case where he needs it. So now they're going to say, why would a shore burn a field because he needs its ashes? Sharo hechi mishkachala, what's going to be the case? Amale Rav Avya, hacha b'mayaskina, b'shur pikech. Shaltalo nishicha b'gabo, he got a bite on his back. V'kabay lemichliye, v'ingedar b'kutma. Okay, he wants to burn it off, right? Like there's this, if he lies down on the ashes, it'll make his burn feel better, and he knows that. Okay? So now they say, v'naya dinan de lebatar de lichliye, kamingedar b'kutma. How does he know that if he's going to do that, it's going to help his bite? Umi ikam kia gavna? Is there such a thing about a shore who knows this kind of thing? And the answer, in. Dahi Torah, dahave beirav papa. Dahave kibin lechin che, ayilu pitke linaziata, v'shate shichra v'itze. There was a case of a shore who had a problem with his teeth, the shore of Rav Papa. Okay, you can imagine, right? All of Rav Papa's kids were smart, right? His animals were smart. He went inside. He found the cap of the beer, barrel, and he drank it, and he felt better. Okay, and he knew that that was going to help him. So here you know. But by the way, this whole thing is opposite of the sugi we saw about the shore with the gachelet alibo. Remember, if you put it on the shore, you can't assume he's going to have this instinct that's going to remove the coal and save him from dying. So here we have the opposite, which is you could have a shore that knows what he's doing, and that's the kind of shore it's talking about in the Mishnah. Okay, in which case you could say that the whole Mishnah is talking about a case like that. Okay. Amar Rabbanan kamei de Rav Papa, mi matzi de amarj shoro dumia dide, v'hakatane shoro shabiyesh patur, v'hu shabiyesh chayav. Shoro dumia dide nitkaven levayesh hechem ishkachala. How could you say that this Mishnah in general, we're giving cases of a shore who's like the person? Because if we say the shore is like the person, well, how can you have a case of a shore shebiyesh the way an Adam was biyesh? It can't possibly be. So what are they saying? As how could you have a shore that's nitkaven levayesh? So now what do they say? No, kigon de nitkaven lahazik. Da amamar nitkaven lahazik afa pishalon nitkaven levayesh. No, you can have it actually, where we say it wasn't that he had kavanah l'vayesh, it was he had kavanah l'hazik. And then we're going to say that an Adam is chayav boshet for a case where he's nitkaven l'hazik, but a shore who's nitkaven l'hazik would only be chayav nezek, he wouldn't be chayav boshet. Okay, so therefore, we answer up that question, and that goes with the opinion who says, Amar nitkaven l'hazik, afa pishalon nitkaven l'vayesh, that a person is chayav even if he had kavanah Lahazik, even if he didn't have kavanah levayesh. We saw that before with the boshet sugya. Okay, so that's one answer. That instead of reading it, Adam is like shore, we're going to read shore is like Adam, we're going to read the Mishnah assuming that the topic of the Mishnah is he burns it amanat le, in order to use the afer. Okay, and that's why it's kimle. Now we're going to have a second answer, and there's a big machloket Rashi Tosfot. We're going to read it first according to Rashi, then according to Tosfot, because Rashi's perush is very difficult. Rava Amar, matnitim b'shogeg. The Mishnah is talking about a shogeg case. Okay, before I even explain, I'll continue for a minute. Ukiditana de Bechizkiah. You remember this whole thing about Ukiditana de Bechizkiah? We learned this a few days ago. That he has a unique interpretation that when it comes to kimle, it's not just if you're mitchayev benafsho, but even if you end up not with the death penalty, but if you could have had the death penalty, like it was a shogeg case, we're not going to kill you, you're still patra from tashlumin. Okay, we're going to read that right now, and then we'll see how Rashi connects that to this. Titana de Bechizkiah, in the house of Chizkiah, they had this braita. Make Adam u make behema. They come up in the pasuk next to each other. Make Adam, make behema yishalmena, u make Adam yumat. Okay, so now what are we going to make a comparison here? Ma make behema lo chilakta ben shogei ben mizi ben mitkaven ben she'en mitkaven ben derech yirida lederech aliyah lepotro mamon ela lechayvo mamon. In a case of makeh behema, right? Generally, when the animal does it, you're usually shogeg, the owner, right? You're still going to be chayav. And whether you were mitzkaven to do the nezek or you weren't mitzkaven to do the nezek, usually you're not mitzkaven, right? And yet, you're going to be chayav. And whether you do derech yirida, derech aliyah, this is all, we'll get to it in Makot about horeg b'shogeg, where it's, yeah, there's a distinction whether you're chayav if it's derech aliyah or derech yirida. In any case, you're never patur mimamon ella l'chayv mamon. You're always going to be chayav mamon in all those cases. So af ma'ke adam lo tachlog bo bein shogeg l'mezi bein mitkaven bein le'em mitkaven bein derech yirida l'derech aliyah l'chayv mamon ella l'potro mamon. So when it comes to patering someone from mamon, which is going to be when we have a din of kimle, when you're chayav mavet, right, and then you're not going to be chayav the damages you caused, right, the monetary things that came about. It's also, you're going to be patur even in shogeg, even in with kaven, even in a case where you're not going to be chayav the mavet onesh, you're still going to be patur from mamon. Okay, that's the bechizkia. What does that have to do with it's sarich lafar or eno sarich lafar? So Rashi says, well, just like shogeg, this case of burning this field on fire, whether you did it because you needed the afer or whether you did it because you didn't need the afer, it's like shogeg. In other words, since potentially there could be a case where you're makalkel and you're going to be makalkel almanah because you need the afer, you're going to be patur from tashlumin. Therefore, even in a case where you burn it kilkul lagamre, you're going to be patur from tashlumin. Follow? So even though the Gemara uses the word shogeg, and it uses the word shogeg because of the Tana de Bechizkia, where his terminology is whole chidush, even if it's shogeg, you're going to be patur from the monetary payment. So likewise here, we're going to say you're patur from tashlumin, even in a case where it was makalkel lagamre. And even though Rabbi Yochanan thinks makalkel lagamre is not going to be chayav malacha on Shabbat, you're still patur from the mamon because it's close to something that would have been chayav, right? If you had done it in a way that you need the afer, you would have been chayav. There's a big problem with this, and Tosafot says, what kind of crazy pshat is this? What's the problem? How can you compare shogeg, where you've done a masa avera, it's just you didn't know, right? Like, let's say you burned the field, but you didn't know that it was Shabbat. So you did a masa avera of an Isra Malachan Shabbat, as opposed to this interpretation, which says, well, if you do a masa avera, but it's not really a masa avera, it's similar. If you had done it in this way, it would have been a masa avera, but since you burned it, it was just kokul. It's not, but it's similar, so we're going to say you're chayav. You follow? An essential difference between the two. Shogeg, what Rashi is doing is, the Gemara says shogeg, but Rashi is saying what they really mean is, in our sugya, right, Bishe sarich lafro, right? Bishe ain sarich lafro, right? In a case where you don't need the afer, right, is like shogeg. In other words, it's not a case where you would have been chayav mavet, but just like shogeg is because there's a mazik case, right? So bishe ain sarich laafer, you wouldn't be chayav mavet in a regular case, but if it was bishe sarich lafro, how do you pronounce it? Efro. If you need the afer, then you would be chayav mavet. Therefore, even if you don't need the afer, you're not chayav mavet, we're still going to patur you from tashlumin. You follow? Shogeg is like b'shein sarich le'efer. It means it is b'shein sarich le'efer, right? In both these cases, there's a case where you'd be chayav mavet, and there's a case where you wouldn't be chayav mavet. So that's what Rashi's saying. And even though our Mishnah is talking about a case where you wouldn't be chayav mavet, it's still because of the times of Bechizkiah, he would patur you from tashlumin. But what I'm saying is there's a basic difference here. In the shogeg case, what does shogeg mean? Shogeg means you did it, but you didn't realize, let's say it was Shabbat, right? You burned the field not knowing today was Shabbat. Or you burned the field not knowing that it was forbidden to do on Shabbat. But you still did an act that would be mechayev mavet if you did it on purpose. In the case where you don't need the afer, so according to Rabbi Yochanan, that's not even an act, that's not a melechet machshavet. You follow? You've done an act that's missing something basic. It's missing yitzirati. It's missing yitzirati'ut. Not kavanah, but it's missing creativity. It's not even a malacha of Shabbat. Shogeg, you did a malacha of Shabbat, you just didn't know. Here, you didn't even do an act. So it's a very difficult reading of this Gemara. So what Tosfot's saying is, that you read the Mishnah like this. Okay, the way Tosfos reads the Gemara is that if you look back at the Mishnah, v'hu she'dliket hagadish b'Shabbat chayav, right? The sharosh she'dliket hagadish b'Shabbat chayav, v'hu she'dliket hagadish patur means that if you were malik the gadish b'Shabbat b'shogeg, even b'shogeg you'd be patur. And it's not relating to whether you need the afer or don't need the afer. In other words, and then it's the whole question was, how could you assume, don't we assume the Adam is like the shore, in which case he doesn't need the afer? And now they're saying, and then the first answer we gave was the shore is like the Adam, in which case it is, you read the Mishnah as all, it's a bit tzarich le'efro. Now they're saying, no, the topic of the Mishnah has nothing to do with tzarich le'efro or not. The topic of the Mishnah is just coming to teach you this unique halacha of the Tana de Bechizkiah, saying we side on the side of Tana de Bechizkiah, that if you do this b'shogeg, so if the shore does it b'shogeg, he's going to be chayav. Okay? There's not even an issue of Shabbat because the shore did it. But if he's madliket hagadish b'shabbat b'shogeg, he's going to be patur. Okay? Even if it's shogeg. And then, how does this relate to Rabbi Yochanan? Well, it's just not dealing with Rabbi Yochanan's issue. In other words, it's not getting into the distinctions of tzarich le'afro, ein tzarich le'afro. The assumption is, the basic assumption is we're talking about a case, if it's coming just to teach us the shogeg mezid halacha, well, if you're Rabbi Yochanan, then how do you read the Mishnah? Well, obviously they mean habaliket hagadish in a way that you would have been chayav if it were mezid. But sort of like that's not even what they're talking about in the Mishnah. That's not what their issue is. So it's sort of putting aside the whole issue of tzarich lafro or not, but it's underlying, I would say, because how else could you be chayav shogeg unless you did it in a way that you'd be chayav mezid? Okay? So that's Tosfot's reading. So now, where are we up to? Okay. So Amar le Rabbanan le Rava, mi matziv mukhmet le b'shogeg, v'ham mi pnei she nidom b'nafsho katani. How could you say this is a case of shogeg? Wasn't it nidom b'nafsho? It says nidom b'nafsho. So hachi kamar, kevan she b'mezid nidom, right? Nidom b'nafsho means he was chayev mavet. So how could you say it's shogeg according to the pshat? So what does he say? No. Hachi kamar, kevan she b'mezid nidom b'nafsho. Okay, so since it was mezid, since if it were mezid, it would be nidom b'nafsho. Therefore, even when it's shogeg, he's going to be patur. Vehechi dami, and now this reads a little better with, or at least I'll read it now with Tosfot. And how could that be? What kind of case would that be? Dekabai lafro, right? Then that would only be obviously in a case where kabai lafro hashta b'shogeg patur. So therefore, in that kind of case, b'shogeg, you would still be patur. Okay. By the way, we don't really have time, but anyway, there's two different approaches, and they actually come out from two different psukim. Maybe we'll see this in the Kimle and another place. One comes from the case of a woman who gets killed, her baby gets killed, the embryo gets killed. She's like, two men are fighting, and she gets involved, and they
hit her in the stomach.
Right, and she has a miscarriage. That's where they learn Kimle from, because he doesn't have to pay if she were to have died. Okay, if she would also to have died, then it would be kimle. And another one is about the beitin. Kedei rishato, only risha achad you chayav and not shtei rishuyot. You can only be chayav, the beitin can only be mechayav on one and not two. So now if you take that, you can break that down into chizkiah and the ones who disagree with chizkiah. If you say it's in the realm of the beitin, well then you say it's only when you're actually mechayav mavet. Okay, if you say it's in the realm of the act itself, you could say that what chizkiah means is that there's an act. Because the act, whether or not you're chayav or not, has nothing to do with it. It's a matter of the act has two different things going on in it, and one's going to cancel out the other, basically. Okay, so is it an issue of the act, or is it the issue of the punishment? We don't want to give you two punishments. Or is it that there's something with the act that we're going to basically, one is going to cancel out the other? So that's a conceptual difference between the two, and potentially coming out of the two different psukim. Okay, new Mishnah. Shur shahaya rodef achar shur, acher. Okay, now we're going to have a whole issue of dine sveka. Okay? One shore is chasing another shore, vuhuzak. Okay? And now the shore gets damaged. But nobody exactly saw what happened. The shore is running after the other shore. Nobody, or maybe they did see exactly what happened, but they have a disagreement about what exactly happened. And we don't have witnesses. Ze omer, shore chayezik. The damaged shore says, your shore caused the damage. No, he tripped over a rock. Okay, now there's a whole debate about well, is this grama? In other words, what was the rock have to do with it? Or was it maybe a flying rock that was coming from somewhere? Was it a flying rock that came from the animal who's chasing him who kicked the rock? And do we... what's the big nafkamina? Well, do we say grama benizikin? In other words, if it really came from that animal, well, maybe you'd say it's chayav, but it's grama. So because of that, he's not chayav. Or would we say grama benizikin is chayav, and therefore it has to be that the rock came from somewhere else and has nothing to do with that shore. So there's a debate about this. But anyway, either which way he's saying, my shore is not chayav. So what's the halacha? Hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. But the burden of proof lies on the nizak, so the mazik is not going to have to pay in this case because he doesn't. The guy who said your shore damaged mine doesn't have any proof for it. So until he can bring proof, the mazik doesn't have to pay. Hayushnaim rotfi an achar echad. If two, what if there were two shvarim chasing one shore, and obviously it gets damaged, but we don't know by which one. Ze omer shorcha hezik, veze omer shorcha hezik. Shnehem ptuim. Okay, since neither one can prove, right? Each owner of the shore says, it was your shore. Since neither of them can prove it, they're both ptuim. Ve'im hayu shnehem, same principle, by the way. Hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. If the nizak wants to get his money, he's got to prove which shore caused the damage. What if there were two shvarim that had the same owner? Ve'im hayu shnehem shel ish echad, but you can't pinpoint which one, right? Shnehem chayavim. Later we're going to see in the Gemara, what does it mean they're both chayav, right? It means really the owner has to pay. Okay, because either which way, however you look at it, it's one of his shvarim. We don't care which one did it. Either which way, his shore damaged, he has to pay the damages because it all roots back to one owner.
It will be relevant as far as Muab. It's just not as far as...
Right, exactly. It will be relevant as far as Muab. We're going to get now to a case of that. So now, let's say there were two shvarim. Not just Muab is it going to be relevant, but haya echad gadol ve'echad katam. Let's say they were both tam, but one was big and one was small. Now remember, size, which means worth, right? The worth of one is greater than the worth of the other. Now, what do we learn about shore tam? It's only migufo. So let's say the smaller shore attacked a bigger shore, and half the damages is less than that, is more than that shore is worth. Okay, so echad gadol v'echad katan. Hanizak omer. The nizak obviously says the gadol hezik. It was the bigger one because he wants to get all his money. V'amazak omer loki ela katan hezik. Right? He says no. It was my smaller one. I'm only paying you the value of the smaller one. Echad tam v'echad muad. Let's say one was tam and one was muad, like you said, Ruth. Hanizak omer muad hezik. Right? The nizak obviously says it's the muad who is mazik. And the mad, and because he wants to get full damages. V'amazak omer loki ela tam hezik. I'm only paying you half. Again, hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. Okay, the one who wants to prove it, the nizak, is always going to be at a disadvantage here.
Why, in the case where there are two of them, are they both chayav? Wouldn't it be similar to the case in the beginning of the Mishnah that says that you don't know if it was his shore or not?
Which one? You're talking about the first line on the page? Shnehem shali shachat shnehem chayavim? Which line are you talking about? That one?
Yeah.
It means, what it means to say is, and we'll see it in the Gemara, we'll get to what it says, but it means that the owner is chayav. Okay,
so
that's how I understand it now.
Why
I didn't.
Isn't it a case of Hamatzim and Chavira Lamaraya, just like in the first case of the Mishnah, where he doesn't know if it was his shore that's.
No, because no matter what, it's his.
They both belong to the
Belong to the same owner. So if.
Oh, it wasn't two attacking one, you're saying it was just two.
There were two of his shvarim going to attack. In the end, one hurt the shore. We don't know which one.
How do you know one hurt the shore? Maybe it wasn't the case of the rock flying up again or something.
Right, the assumption is in this case it clearly came from a shore. We just don't know which shore it came from. That's the case. Now I see what your question is.
The
assumption is.
The majority will always be on top and affect the one single one.
Just the assumption is that it's clear he got attacked by a shore. You could tell also, sort of, you could probably assess damage, but that's not the suffix here. In other words, they're coming up with different suffix situations. So in one case, he said it was a rock, and the other guy said it was a shore. Here, we know it was a shore. It's just a matter of which shore was it. That's, I think, the issue. In other words, it's different sfeikot that we're bringing up here. So the suffix here is not, was it a rock or was it the shore? The doubt is, which shore was it? Okay, we're going to see later that they're going to suggest that possibly these are cases where each one is certain in their claim. It's not that they're just saying what's better for them, but they're saying, I saw this, and the other guy's saying, I saw that. Now, obviously, someone's lying. But they claim with... this is what we call bury. Okay, bury and bury is when both people claim definitively, I know this is to be the case. And then the Beit Din has to decide, well, who's lying? Okay? Otherwise, you could have a case where he says, I think this is mine, I think this is what happened, and I think this is what happened. Or you could have, and that's called Shema Veshema. Or you could have a Bari Veshema. One is, I know, and the other says, I think. And then, you know, a question of how do we deal with Sveikot in different situations like that. And that's what we're going to get into in the Gemara here. So now, okay. Let's say two people got damaged by two different shvarim. Okay? Two animals, sorry. Thank you. Two animals got damaged by two different animals. So now we have to match up who to who, right? We don't know who damaged who. So, echad gadol ve'echad katan. So there were two animals damaged. One was big, one was small. So again, the amount of damage is going to be greater in one than the other. V'hamizikin shnayim, echad gadol ve'echad katan. And there's also a big and a small when it comes to who damaged. Hanizak omer, gadol hezik et hagadol ve'katan et hakatan. So the Nizak's going to say it was the bigger one that attacked the bigger one and the smaller one that attacked the smaller one because he wants to get the maximum amount of damage was paid to him. V'amazik omer, lo ki ela katan et hagadol, the smaller one attacked the bigger one, so you're only going to get payment through the smaller one, which is not going to cover the loss. V'gadol et hakatan, and the larger one attacked the smaller one, so then I'm not going to pay the full amount of that animal, I'm only going to pay the damages he caused. Echad tam ve'echad muad, if one was tam and one was muad in the same case, so anizak omer muad hezik et hagadol, right, I want nezek shalem for the gadol, v'tam et hakatan, and for the little one I'll take half damage. V'amazik omer, lo ki ela tam et hagadol u'muad et hakatan. This, by the way, sounds to me a little like when you go to buy something and the second one is free, but only to the amount of the larger amount, right? It goes by the smaller thing that you buy. You know, you buy two books, get one free, but it has to be. Okay, anyway. Hamotzi mechavero alav, right, or a half price or something. Hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. So in these cases, also, the mazik is always going to be, you know, have the upper hand. Okay, the first thing the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, zot omeret, or some Gersaot don't have this, chalukim alav chavirav al sumchus. Da'amar mamon mutal b'safek cholkin. This is very basic. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba comes and says, this Mishnah is going against sumchus. Sumchus says, mamon mutal b'safek cholkin. Okay, meaning, if you have money that we don't know what to do with, we split it 50-50. Okay? So now, what's his chiddush? In other words, if Sumchus says this, so it's obvious. So why do we need to say that these are disagreeing with Sumchus? So first of all, you have to know where Sumchus started. Sumchus comes up in a case of a shore attacks another shore, and it was a pregnant shore, and next to the shore we find a fetus that's dead. So the question is, we don't know, did the fetus die before the shore attack? Did she miscarry? The shore miscarry before, well, not the shore, the... Right, it would be a cow. Did she, the para, right, the female, did she miscarry before the attack, or did she miscarry because of the attack? So if she miscarried before the attack, then the mazik doesn't have to pay. If she miscarried after the attack because of the attack, then the owner has to pay the dmei vladot. Okay? Now, what's the difference between that case and this case? That's a case of, we don't know what actually happened. Here's a case of, we know, no one even knows what happened. Here's a case of something happened, it's a matter of who do we believe, right? It's more of believing ta'anot, right? It's again this bari and bari. They say, I know this is the case, opposed to there where it's all suffix. Okay, and they talk about there's a little bit of a difference, but what Rabbi Chiya is coming to say is, even in this case, Sumchus would say it was mamona mutab safek cholkin. So Amale, and there's a machlok at Sumchus and Chachamim, what we do, okay? So Amarle Rabbi Abba bar Mamala Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Amar Sumchus Afilu Bari Ubari. Does Sumchus agree even in a Bari Ubari case? And is that, like I said, nobody knows what happened there. Nobody comes and claims, I saw that she miscarried before the attack. I saw she miscarried after the attack. No, there, nobody knows. So would Sumchus also say in a Bari Ubari case? Amarle In. He says, yes, actually Sumchus would. Amar Sumchus Afilu Bari Ubari. Okay? Now the Mishnah, so the assumption is that our Mishnah is a Bari Ubari case. So now the Gemara wants to say, Umi Maidim Atnitim Bari Ubari Hu. How do we know that our Mishnah is Bari Ubari? De Katane, Ze Omer Shorchaizi, Ze Omer Loki, right, Ela Sela. Okay, they're just not giving the rest of the sentence. So they're saying, that's a case of Bari Ubari, right? He says, you're sure damaged. And he says, no, right, that's bari or bari. They're clearly bari or bari. So now, matkif la Rav Papa. If you say that this is bari or bari, we're going to have a problem. Midiresha bari or bari, seifanami bari or bari, right? If we're going to assume that the first case is a bari or bari case, and on that is what Rabbi Chiya said, that Tzumchus disagrees with his friends. So also you'd have to say that the seifa is bari or bari. Now why is that not good? Ema seifa, look at the seifa. Hayacho achad gadol v'achad katan. Nizak omer gadol izik. Umazik omer lo ki ela katan izik. Echad tam v'echad mua, nizak omer muad izik, v'amazik omer lo ki ela tam izik. Hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. Right? So now what's going to happen in this case? What do you assume? If halo maite raya, so what happens if there's no raya? Shakil kida amar mazik. We're going to go by what the mazik says, meaning we're going to take the payment from the tam for the gadol, right? Or the smaller amount. Nema tahavi tiyuvta to Rabba Barnatan. This is going to disagree if we assume that it's a bari ubari case. Okay, what we're going to assume now is, okay, bari ubari. Each one makes a definitive claim, and yet, right, and the mazik is going to have to pay the smaller amount, right? That's going to go against what Rabba Bar Natan said. What did Rabba Bar Natan say? Da'amar, what did Rabba Bar Natan say? In other words, Rabba Bar Natan is going to have a difficulty explaining our Mishnah, is what it's basically saying. It's a tiyuvta, it's a koshi for Rabba Bar Natan, who's an Emora, who has said this halacha. What was his halacha? Ta'anu chitim v'hodalo b'se'orim patur. If I claim that you owe me chitim, and you come and say, I don't owe you chitim, but I owe you se'orim, which is less value than chitim, I'm patur. I don't have to pay anything. Because these are two different ta'anot bichlal. Follow? He claims that if the one guy claims one thing, and I claim something else, then the mazik can't, the nizak has no way of proving, right? In other words, the nizak doesn't get anything, basically, in this case. So here it's not a nizak, it's two people who had a deal or something. So he says, you owe me chitim, and he admits to se'orim. We call that, it's not mimin hata'ana, it's not of the same type, and therefore, he's pater. So what would you say here? If this, right, and that's a case of bari ubari. So in our case, if he's bari and he's bari, what would Rabbi Bar Natan say? If you claim it was the shor tam who attacked, and the other guy claims it was the shor muad who attacked, so you're talking about two totally different things. And therefore, he shouldn't have to pay at all. Because he's basically saying that this is something, right, I'm not admitting to what you're claiming I did. You're claiming my shor muad attacked you, and I'm claiming it was a shor tam. So it's exactly like chitim and se'orim. So therefore, what do they claim? Ela b'bari b'shema. Okay? It must be, it's not a bari u'bari case. Why is he going to be chayav here? Because it's a bari v'shema case. Okay, meaning that in the case where there's no proof, what's going to happen? The mazik's going to have to pay the smaller amount. Why? Because, we'll see in a minute, we'll get there, but the mazik obviously has a weaker argument. That's why he ends up having to pay something. Because his is shema and the other guy is bari. It's going to take the Gemara a minute until it gets to that's what it is, but I want you to understand now already where they're going. So, ela b'bari v'shema de ka'amar. Bari man, so who's the bari? Bari man de ka'amar, De ka'amar bari man, when you say the bari, who's the bari? And de ka'amar shema man, who's the shema? Ineva de ka'amar nizak bari. Maybe I just said it wrong, actually. Hold off 1 minute. If it's that the nizak is bari, says for sure it was your shor muad. The ka'amar mazik shema, and the mazik says no. Maybe it was my short time. Akati lema tiavi tiyuvta de Rabba Bar Natan. That would exactly be the tiyuvta of Rabba Bar Natan. Ela de ka'amar nizak shema. The nizak says, I'm not sure. The ka'amar mazik bari, and the mazik says, I know for sure it was my short time. Right, that's the way it works. It's the opposite of what I said. Because if the mazik is not sure, then he doesn't have to pay. That's his claim. He's basically saying, I don't know what you mean, and I don't know what happened. But if the nizak is shema and the mazik is for sure, I know it was my tam, then he pays based on his bari. You follow? In other words, he's going to go based on his claim of bari, and even Rabbi Bar Natan would agree with that. Okay, then in a case where the mazik is bari, and the nizak is shema. So the mazik says, I know for sure it was my short time, and you don't even know what happened. So he definitely pays the short time amount, basically, or whether it was the katan, pays the katan. So now, according to this, umi de seifa nizak shema umazik bari. So if you're going to say that the seifa is, or the nizak is the shema, and the mazik is the bari, what's going to happen now? Well, we're going to have to assume that the whole Mishnah matches up that way, and we're going to obviously have a problem with that. Reishanami nizak shema umazik bari. Va'amar sumchus afilu baha de'itzrach lishmu'inan de'lo. So they say, if the in the Reisha, the Nizak says, maybe it was your shore that was Mazik. And the Mazik says, I know that it was a rock. Okay, going back to the first case. So Sumchus, would Sumchus even need to tell us here that it's not, right, that we don't hold like Chachamim? In other words, who's strong? Who's got the stronger case here? The mazik has the stronger case because he's bari, right? According to this, the mazik is bari. So Sumchus wouldn't have to say in this case. One second. No, let's start with this tomorrow. I'll get this straight for tomorrow, and we'll pick up from here. Okay. Tomorrow we start the next paragraph.